Hello, hello, hello. I'm Tanya Penny, of course, and I am really, I don't want to use the word excited. Just, I don't know, today I'm super grateful to be joining you and sharing today's information with you. This month is all about nurturing your body. We're on key number six. As always, each key is extremely important and placed just so. In this month, we're going to be covering nutrition, rest, and movement as a way to nurture your body. And just a reminder, because a lot of you that I've talked to in your one-on-one sessions have expressed this kind of slump. I don't want to call it a slump, but kind of a lag or a just not feeling motivated sometimes, kind of letting your self-care slide because of, quote-unquote, like getting too busy, social things, like all that. So I just want to remind you that that is normal and perfectly okay for that to happen. You're human, people, right? Like, you're human, and that is completely normal, okay. We work in ebbs and flows. Yeah, we work in ebbs and flows. That's just the way life goes. So don't be hard on yourself, because that is going to only set you back. And I know I've said that before, but I really want to drive that home. Like, any time that we fall off the wagon, and we do because we're human, it is going to help us to get back on more quickly and easily if we are compassionate with ourselves. So, for instance, if I beat myself up for eating, like emotionally eating, and I beat myself up for it after I realize I'm doing it, what's going to happen is I will be more likely, because I've shamed myself and beat myself up, I'm more likely to do it again worse and even more quickly, more soon. So I just want to make sure that that's, you know, just something I'm sharing with you tonight, is to bring that back around and, yeah, just remind you that it's really important to be compassionate with yourself. And, you know, we've been driving that home for 6 months, but I know because of my own experience with getting out the beating stick that I need to continue to remind you guys of that. So grab your class outline if you haven't already, or it's on the membership page. And as always, I just want to thank you guys for sharing on Facebook. Part of this program that you're paying for is getting the support on Facebook from me and the other women. Comment, share a struggle, a win, both. Remember, we are here to support and to celebrate each other, you guys. So I just want to, you know, pat you guys on the back who have been sharing and commenting and helping each other out. And for those of you that haven't, I'm not here to shame you. I'm just here to say, dude, come on, like, step up and fully use the support that is here. You're only hurting yourself if you're not. Like, you're not even hurting yourself. You're just not getting the full benefit. So, come on. Like, let's do it, right? Let's do it. Awesome. Now or later. Cool. So, as I said, I'm actually going to start with rest. So I broke rest into a couple different areas, and the first one that I'm going to cover tonight is sleep. So under rest comes sleep, nap, and then other. So I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but sleep is what I want to cover first. So a lot of you know that I worked in a sleep clinic, actually, gosh, for about a year or so, maybe a little bit less. And I worked at a sleep clinic in Idaho. I was hired by a doctor to actually come and coach using iRest to people that were struggling with sleep. And I learned so much about sleep during that time. Some of it was, you know, good stuff, and some of it was false stuff. So, you know, tonight I'm going to dispel some myths on sleeping and, you know, add some things too. So I learned a lot of things that were very important about sleep, and I'm going to share some of those with you tonight, and then I'm going to go through some guidelines. So why is sleep so important? So number one, adequate amounts of deep sleep. So let me just define sleep. I know that sounds silly, right? But sleep is not when you go to bed to the time you get up, you guys. For a lot of us, we get into bed and we are not sleeping. We are watching TV. We are reading. We are on our computer. We are on our cell phone. That is not sleeping. We're talking to our partner. Maybe we're having sex. Yay. That's not sleeping. Sleeping is the time that you actually turn off the light and fall asleep. Some of you turn off the light and you stay awake for 30 minutes to 3 hours. That is not sleeping. Sleeping is the time that you are actually out. You are out consciously, you are out. And the amount of time you stay asleep, a lot of us wake up, whether we are aware of it or not. That is not sleeping. So we want to really define sleeping, right? How long are you actually asleep for? Are you asleep for 3 hours? Then do you wake and go to the bathroom and then come back to bed and you're awake another hour because your mind is racing and then you finally fall back asleep and you're asleep maybe another 2 hours and then the alarm goes off? So like that is what I'm talking about when I'm defining actual sleep time, okay? So I want you guys to take some notes right now. Like, what do you think your actual sleep time is? How often do you wake up, do you think? Now, I actually had a sleep study done because, as most of you know, I suffered from insomnia for about 15-plus years. Longer, actually. I'm sure longer. But from what I could remember. And insomnia for me looked like it took me anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours to fall asleep on average. I woke anywhere from 2 to 5 times a night that I could remember. And I would tend to wake at least an hour early. So what time do you actually fall asleep? How many times do you wake up? How long are you awake when you wake up? You know, sometimes I would wake up and be awake for an hour because I couldn't, because my mind was racing. And then I would fall back asleep and then wake up an hour early. So frequent waking, times woken up, and then do you wake early? So time actually asleep. I'd like you to think about, reflect on that a little bit and take some notes on that. So again, the importance, adequate amounts of deep sleep, release stress hormones, release stress in your body. And we know that it also increases your healing ability, including not just illness, disease, pain, and fatigue, of course, but weight. So research shows that the body needs at least 4 hours. I used to say 3 hours, but research lately is showing more towards 4 hours of continuous deep sleep. That means not waking, to fully release stress and get into the quote-unquote healing zone for your body. So what that might look like is you fall asleep, you're asleep for 4 hours straight, it's pretty normal or average to wake up at least one time to go to the bathroom, especially for women. Men tend to have bigger bladders. Don't ask me why. Just the way it is. Smaller brains, bigger bladders. Just kidding. Maybe not. I'm glad this is an all-woman program. So, and then go to the bathroom, come back to sleep, and then sleep for another three to four continuous hours. That's where the 3 to 4 hours comes in, right? To get into the healing zone. So that's going to be a little bit different for everybody, you guys. And I guess that's where the 3 to 4 hours come in. Now, that's what research shows. It also shows that the best sleep we get is before midnight. So those of you who aren't going to bed till almost midnight, take note. And I'm going to give you some guidelines and tips on that in a little bit. But, those are some really important things to take into consideration to note about your sleep. So, cool. So those are some important things to note about sleeping in general, in particular. I guess I should say not in general. So now I'm going to get into some recommended guidelines on sleeping. So on the average person needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And as I said, that might look like 3 to 4 hours, wake to pee, another 3 to 4 hours. So I have some people that I work with, and sometimes myself as well, and just know some people in general, and I'm going to say people that actually meditate, you guys, that only need 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night and wake up feeling like fully energized. So what I've noticed about myself in my healing process is that I needed more sleep when I was actually in the quote-unquote healing phase, and that while I'm in my maintenance phase, feeling really good, like things are going along pretty smoothly in my life, I can pretty much do really well and feel really good on 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night. Now, when I'm not doing well or when I'm quote-unquote sick, whether that's mentally, physically, or emotionally, I need 8 to 10 hours sometimes. Now, I also notice that if I am regularly using my PMP practice during the day or some other form of meditation, but really PMP, that I actually need less sleep. So research also shows that using your PMP, now this is a guideline, a tip, using your TMP or some other type of meditation, but specifically IRES/therapeutic meditation practice, University of San Diego shows if you fall asleep to that at bedtime, you get into deep sleep more quickly, stay there longer, and need less sleep in general. Again, that's going to depend on the person as to how much you need anyways, right? So for those of you that are using your TMP at bedtime, yay, keep it up. For those of you that are not consistently using it at bedtime, every night at bedtime, and I am recently totally, like, attesting to that. I fell off the wagon with using my TMP at bedtime for a couple of weeks in my moving process and my transition. I was doing it, but not consistently. I got back on the wagon this past week, and I noticed I was sleeping almost through the night. Oh, my God. Last night, I did not even wake until 5 minutes before my alarm went off. I slept almost 7 straight hours last night, you guys, which is, even for me, without getting up to pee one time, is pretty unusual. So just saying, for those of you that are not doing it consistently, try it. All you have to do is push play. As you fall asleep, you do not have to hear a word. Now, another tip or guideline is if you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't fall back asleep within 5 minutes, use a guided practice, again, to help you get back to sleep. It helps shut off your monkey mind. It helps shut it down, shut it off, stop worrying, all that kind of stuff. So I just want to throw in a little mind-body healing tip here as well, a little mind-body healing philosophy. If you look up insomnia, which is any problem sleeping, falling asleep, staying asleep, or waking early, it has to do with not trusting in the world equals anxiety and fear, worry. So not trusting. That's something bigger than you is taking care of you, of us, of your loved ones, of your money. Fill in the blank. Financial stress is one of those big ones that causes insomnia. So I just want to kind of throw that out there and want you to take note of that if you have problems with insomnia. Okay? Okay, back in the tips and guidelines. Okay. So I do recommend that unless you have a work schedule that doesn't permit, like you work second shift or third shift, to go to bed no later than 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So you're getting an hour to an hour and a half before midnight. So it really is also important to have a consistent sleep schedule. That was a big thing that I saw, not only for myself, but at the sleep clinic when I worked with people. So the more consistent we can be, so within a half an hour, so like for me, my goal is to usually go to bed between 9:30 and 10. I know that sounds really early, but my boyfriend Josh, his new job, he has to get up at 5 a.m. And I know that I need at least 7 hours of sleep on average. And I also know that when his alarm goes off at 5, I don't get back to sleep very quickly. And an hour of sleep, hour and a half, because I get up about 6:30, it isn't really getting into your, always getting into your sleep cycle. So sleep cycles work on an hour and a half. So that's something also to take into consideration. So, you know, when I say 7 hours of sleep, really 9 hours. So there's some research done about sleep cycles. And that it's good to try and plan for a full sleep cycle, which is an hour and a half, 90 minutes. So consistency in bedtime and waking time is important, as well as looking at the hour and a half sleep cycle. If you get woken up in the middle of a sleep cycle, and I know that's not always something we have control over, it can actually make you feel really groggy and not rested. So that's something else to as a guideline, is be aware of sleep cycles, the hour and a half, when you're figuring out when you go to bed, when you wake up. So, for example, like, okay, perfect for me would be 9:30 to 5. That's 7.5 hours, okay? Now, I'm not going to stress about it, but that's what I shoot for, okay? So think about that as you're setting your schedule for sleep. Now, people often on the weekends will sleep a lot longer to catch up. I don't recommend that. Try to stay on a consistent schedule, especially even on the weekends, within an hour of your normal, quote-unquote, normal sleep schedule. So, like for me, Josh wakes up at 5. I usually don't get out of bed till 6. But I'm doing things like praying, meditating while I'm laying in bed. I just don't really like to get up before 6 out of bed. But it's not really sleeping. On the weekends, I still shoot to get up out of bed between 6 and 7. I don't set my alarm, but my body just automatically does it. So the same is true. When you're caught up on your sleep and you're sleeping good, your body's going to want to stay in a normal sleep schedule. Now, there are times when I'm tired or I'm sick where I do tend to sleep later. So that's just something to take into consideration. Cool. I know I'm giving you guys a lot of information tonight, so this is something you're going to want to go back and listen to again. And as usual, baby steps. Baby steps, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that later as well. Cool. All right, some more guidelines. And, you know, I'm just going to recommend that you put some of these into place. If you're like, oh my God, this, I am like so off track. I recommend putting like maybe 2 to 3 of these into place and then, you know, do that and then add as that becomes habit. Okay, this is really going to kill some of you. No TV, computer, or smartphone use an hour before bedtime. If an hour seems like too much, start with 30 minutes. So it shows that these activities stimulate your brain, right? So that's the why behind it. We want to try to have relaxing activities an hour to 30 minutes before bedtime. And I know some of you are like, well, my TV relaxes me, my TV show. TV is stimulating, you guys. You don't want to do that stuff. You want to do like reading, listening to music, doing your guided PMP. So those are things that are really important to do, you know, before bedtime, and lay off the TV, the computer, and the smartphone use. Anything stimulating. 30 minutes, preferably an hour before bedtime. This is going to feed into this. No news. I do not recommend to watch the news before bedtime. And actually, I don't recommend watching the news anytime even close to bedtime. So if you are like someone who feels like, oh my God, I gotta watch the news, I recommend to watch it during lunch, midday, no later than after dinner or before dinner. Okay? So like, I haven't watched the news for over 6 years. Really, I have not. So people say, well, how do you know what's going on? Believe me, my clients tell me, my family tells me, my friends tell me. Anything important, I find out about. Like, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. The news is really anxiety-provoking for a lot of people, whether you realize it or not. It's a lot of negativity. It causes a lot of worry and anxiety, and you take that into your sleep. So those of you who have nightmares or night traumas or, you know, frequent waking, if you just stop watching the news, I guarantee that will help it. You know, it's going to make a shift for you. So limit liquid. So here's another tip. To limit liquid 2 to 3 hours. Don't drink a lot 2 to 3 hours prior to bedtime. This decreases trips to the bathroom. When you wake up to go to the bathroom, that interrupts your sleep. So I myself try to not have anything to drink, at least of a big quantity, 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. To kind of tag on to that, no caffeine 3 to 8 hours prior to bedtime. So again, you guys, this is all very individual. These are averages. These are suggestions. Your body is going to be, you know, your body. It's unique. So really connecting with yourself and your body, asking your body, like literally asking your body, hey, body, like close your eyes, put a hand on your body to get connected to your body and say, hey, body, like when is the latest that it would be like okay for me to have caffeine? Or when would be like the best time for me to cut off my liquid, except like maybe for a few pills and a little sip of water before bedtime if you have to take some medication, right? So those are some things I really want you guys to start tapping in and asking your body. What kind of rest does it need? Like asking these questions, what kind of food, what kind of movement? So I'm going to cover that during each area. But really starting to ask your body, like I'm giving you some average information here. Ask your body, hey body, what time would it be the best for us to go to bed? What time would it be like how many hours of sleep do you need right now? You can ask that daily, you guys. Like this isn't just a one-time ask and it's going to be that way the rest of your life. Like shift happens, right? The body changes. So really getting in the habit of asking your body, your higher levels for guidance on what would be best for you would be awesome. So another recommendation for those of us who have trouble sleeping, calming down, is to take melatonin. So I'm actually going to give you some kind of nutrition stuff specific to sleep in this session. So melatonin is a great natural supplement. The body is supposed to make melatonin on its own. So it's a natural thing. A lot of us are depleted in that. Another thing that I take every night at bedtime is called magnesium palm. You can buy that at almost any natural food store, the co-op, Whole Foods. It's a powder, and it's called magnesium calm. Natural calm, magnesium calm. I think they might have changed the label. But I take that at bedtime every night. It also helps me go to the bathroom as a side note for those of us who have constipation problems. It helps with anxiety. It helps with sleep. It helps with constipation. All kind of related. Just taking regular magnesium capsules can be helpful. There's another supplement that is a lozenge that you put under your tongue to take like an hour before bedtime called GABA Calm, G-A-B-A Calm. And again, do your guided TMT practice at bedtime. That's just as good as taking a supplement, and I take both. I take magnesium calm, and I do my practice at bedtime. Sometimes I also take GABA calm if I'm in, like, more stress. I take GABA calm, and then that helps, you know, even more. So just kind of putting that out there as sometimes when we're under more stress, we need more help sleeping. I know that some of you take sleep medication. I'm not making that wrong. I'm not telling you to get off that tonight. Remember, you want to put these other things in place before you go off of sleep medication. And you always want to taper if you are on a sleep medication, such as, I used to be on trazodone. Some people are on Ambien. I don't remember. There's a million different sleep medications. So that is something you want to do. Get off of that. I highly recommend you put these other things in place first. Have that be really solid, and then work with your doctor at weaning off of your medication. That is something that I help people do as well. So just putting that out there, if that's something you want to work on, I can help you with that in some one-on-one sessions. One last tip is yoga postures. So you guys have those yoga posture, gentle yoga posture videos. They're under the video tabs on the membership site. I highly recommend to try the one that I really like the most is posture number one, super simple. That one is great to do to relax your mind and body before bedtime. And again, during any yoga posture, I practice the breathing in, like, a positive, peaceful, calming emotion, and breathing out worry, fear, stress, anxiety, overwhelm, and doing that several times before bedtime. Yoga posture number one is great, and there's another one that's really good. It's the one where you start on your hands and knees. I think it might be number three, but you want to check on that. It's the one that's on hands and knees. So you can definitely use some very gentle yoga posture. Right before bedtime, actually in bed. And then crawl into the covers, put on your TMP, do some reading, then do your TMP. Okay? So that's kind of my information. I know it was a lot on sleep. Sleep's really important, so I really wanted to cover that well tonight. So a lot of people say, well, I don't listen to the news, but I listen to NPR. Even NPR can have, you know, it's much better than the regular news, but it can have a lot of stuff that is upsetting. A lot of us are very sensitive souls, you guys. So we take stuff on. Now, as we begin to practice everything that we're doing in this program, we begin to take on less stuff. We still are sensitive, but we can actually take on less stuff emotionally. Then it becomes okay to start to listen to a little bit more of this stuff. But until then, like, there's no need to go into the details, you guys, because number one, there's nothing that we can actually do about it except pray. Seriously. So these things that are happening, shootings, war, the best thing that we can do is pray. So whoever you pray to, whatever you pray to, that you give the people strength, courage, hope, and healing that are going through this. Pray for peace, right? But to sit and listen to all that stuff, the details, is not helpful. It doesn't change anything. Prayer does. And there's a book called The Power of Prayer. I just want to throw that out there. It seems fitting right now. I don't remember the author, but The Power of Prayer. So, as I said, I just want to throw that out there. Cool. Take note of what that I'm telling you is going to be hard. Some of you are going to say some of the sleep stuff's going to be hard. Some of you are going to say, oh, my God, this movement's going to be hard. Some of you are going to say the nutrition stuff I recommend is going to be hard. So remember that when you say something's going to be hard, guess what? It's going to be hard. It's going to be harder. So all of you is saying, making this change is going to get easier every day. So like making these changes is going to get easier every day is what, when you notice yourself saying something's going to be hard, go ahead and do a thought shift and change it to that. And then I'll have you guys work on that as well in your guided TMT, okay? Now, I do recommend putting your phones on airplane mode, you guys, when you do your TMTs on them at night, because you don't want the cell phone radiation or what are those called, EFTs. You don't want those pulsing in your brain through your headphones. Some of you don't use headphones and just listen out loud, and that's fine. But I would still put your phone on airplane mode. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what if there's an emergency in the middle of the night and somebody can't get a hold of me? Well, it depends on, if you're a mom and, your kid's out doing something and you want to make sure that if they call in the middle of the night, totally. That's fine. But if you're just like randomly worried that something's going to happen in the middle of the night, like the other shoe's going to drop, put it on airplane mode, you guys. Like my mom called me a couple of weeks ago. I think I shared with you guys that my grandfather died in like pretty early morning. My mother called me and she left me a message before I got up. Now, could I do anything about my grandfather passing away? No. So I was really glad my phone was on airplane mode because it didn't matter whether I found out at 4 a.m. or 7 a.m., right? So just want to throw that out there for those of you who have had some stuff around putting it on airplane mode. So, all right. Julio, I think that's it for little suggestions, comments. Cool. Okay, so let's get into nap, you guys. So the importance of napping. A lot of us have been conditioned that napping is only for kids. Napping is for lazy people. And I'm here to tell you that napping is important. The most successful people in the world nap every day for 10 to 30 minutes. Napping increases productivity, focus, efficiency. It releases stress in the body and the mind, and it shuts off the mind and helps the body rest and release stress. Napping is essential, especially if you struggle with pain, fatigue, a chronic illness, weight problems, anxiety, depression. I'm telling you. A daily nap of 10 to 30 minutes will change your life. And there's actually a book that I'm recommending that if you guys need some more research and you know who you are, some of you are like, oh, I got to read more about this in order to make it okay. Take a nap, change your life. I'll make sure I get it up on the resources page where the books are listed. But write it down. It's Take a Nap, Change Your Life. And I don't have the author on hand right now. But if you need some more research and you know who you are, read that book. It will change your mind. Okay? So just a few napping guidelines. One, I recommend napping daily, 15 to 30 minutes. If you're sick, it's okay to have a little bit longer nap. So I recommend doing a quote-unquote TMP nap. So you put your guided practice in, you allow yourself to fall asleep to it. And maybe you fall asleep, maybe you don't, but maybe you just drift off. And for those of you that have to get up at a certain time because you are at work or you need to go back to work, set an alarm. I actually had a client today who she missed her session, her one-on-one session with me because she did her guided TMP and didn't set her alarm right before our session and slept like 30 minutes past her TMP. So I recommend setting an alarm if there's something you have to get up for. If you are sick, you guys, it's okay to nap for longer. Like, I recommend if you're sick, maybe let yourself nap up to 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, depending, and that's going to, again, depend on what's going on with you. And, you know, if you need some more guidance on that, I can help you with that. But if you're just doing a regular, normal nap and you're not sick, you know, 15 to 30 minutes is okay. Some people have a belief that if I nap during the day, I won't sleep at night. That's not true. But that leads into my next one, which is if you, you know, it's best to do your guided nap, your guided TMP nap, before 3 to 4 p.m. Now, I do have some people that do it after work, but they do a short one. Or they maybe go to bed a little bit later at 10 or 10:30. So I would say put at least 4 to 5 hours between your guided TMP and your bedtime. So it's okay to do it after work as long, you know, try to get at least 4 hours between your guided nap and don't make it more than 15 to 30 minutes. But it's great to do it at lunchtime for a recharge. It helps your digestion. It helps release stress, all of it. So those are some nap guidelines. Some other things that I consider restful that you can do is a breathing break. Maybe you don't have time to take a nap or do a guided TMP, but you can do a 5 to 10 minutes, 2 to 10 minutes, 1 to 10 minutes, seriously, rest break with doing some breathing, closing your eyes if you're not driving. Follow the breath in and out, breathe in an emotion, breathe out an emotion. That's a great rest break, a simple great rest break that you can sit in during the day. So I have a question on here. It doesn't say who it's from, but it says, like, how much rest do I need in a day? Well, that's going to be very individual. So, like, for me, and I'm in a maintenance phase right now, like, I've had a little more stress than normal, but I'm pretty much back to my normal, like the way I feel. I do a guided TMP at, you know, midday. I listen to it at bedtime. I have like a 9:30 bedtime. I try to get 7.5 hours of sleep. And I also do some restful things at night before bed. I try to do a little reading 30 minutes before bedtime. Besides my guided TMP. So I also, in the morning, do, and this is going to go into some of the other things, I do some journaling in the morning. So I consider journaling a restful activity. So you can add that to your list besides, you know, under other, is journaling can be restful, right? It's reflective, it's restful. Listening to relaxing music. Lauren posted on Facebook, gardening for her is very meditative or restful. So you want to think of things that are meditative. Sometimes walking, specifically out in nature, can be very restful. Not fast walking, just gentle walking. Gentle yoga, as I've said before, and I do that in the morning as well, a posture or two. That's restful. Sometimes I do that at lunchtime. A bath can be very restful, hot springs or a bath. So I'd love to hear some other restful activities on the Facebook page. So what else is restful for you? Gardening is restful for Lauren. Anything that is considered reflective, meditative, restful, where you might even be doing something, but it's very relaxing. It's very restful. So those are some ideas. And I would build in, you know, at least a block of time every day to do something restful besides sleeping, you guys. Minimum of 15 minutes up to 2 hours. It can be split. Like I said, I do about an hour of restful stuff in the morning. I do 30 minutes at lunchtime and then about another 30 minutes before bedtime. So I really need that. Again, you can even ask your body, like, hey, body, how much restful, you know, how much stuff do you need today that's restful in general? And then schedule it in. And then on a daily basis, you can add to that or subtract from it. If you're in a healing phase right now, it's going to be a little bit different than if you're in a quote-unquote maintenance phase, like I said I am. When high stress happens in your life, you actually need more rest, you guys, which is exactly the opposite of what we normally do. Isn't that the truth? So, yeah. Awesome. So, and you can also, you know, jump on right now and share with me if there's anything else that is restful, or on the Facebook page. It's totally up to you. I'm going to put the ball in your court. But, wow, I took almost a whole session talking about rest, you guys. It's really important. Really important. So we've got about 9 minutes or so left. So I am going to move into movement. So, all right. The importance of movement. So, I like to use the word, first of all, I just want to say, what's the definition of movement? And why do I use movement instead of exercise? I don't like the word exercise, and I think for a lot of us, exercise has a negative flavor. Exercise for us is equal to a way to punish ourselves, work. And exercise kind of reminds me of the word the exorcist. Now, I used to, quote unquote, exercise like a madwoman. What did that look like? That looked like pushing my body to the extreme, sometimes exercising, no shit, four hours a day. I'm not kidding. I was actually addicted to exercise. We can be addicted to anything, you guys. I mean, seriously. So I don't like the word exercise, so I started using the word movement. So if you like the word exercise, great. If you don't, use the word movement like I do. So movement is important because it releases stress mentally, physically, and emotionally from the body. Research shows that. If you are struggling with anxiety or depression, either one, both, Movement is one of the recommended treatments. Movement increases your metabolism. For those of you who are struggling with weight, I mean, it releases calories, but it also improves your metabolism. Another reason why it's important, you remember as a child that you loved to, like, move your body and play and jump around and do all sorts of crazy stuff? Like, our bodies are meant to move. We're actually programmed to want to move, crave it. What happens is our mind says there's not enough time, or we've got these negative connections to exercise, and we start to resist it. We start to hate it. And so I want to reprogram you to think movement as a way to play. Your body loves movement. Okay? Movement is also meditation for a lot of people. Again, it helps movement for me and a lot of my clients. It helps you get out of that mind, the obsessing, movement can be very meditative, and it's a way to connect with yourself and your body. I don't recommend putting on music unless it's very relaxing music to move. Because if you're exercising like a maniac and you're using music to get you going like really fast and whatever, that's actually not really what I want you to get from movement. I want you to be able to connect and listen to your body and accept your body and love your body for movement. Play. We are not here to beat the crap out of our body. I used to have a belief that I had to exercise for at least 60 minutes a day in order to get the benefit. What happened is that if I couldn't make the time, if I didn't make the time to exercise for 60 minutes, I wouldn't do it at all. Now, common sense says, is it more beneficial to move a little bit or to not move at all? You know the answer to that, but I'm telling you what my mind and what I know a lot of your minds do, all or nothing. So I'm going to get into some of that in a little bit, but I just want to go through some types of movement. So one type of movement is stretching and or yoga, so gentle stretching and yoga. Now, I do recommend that we start, we always start with a little bit of that if we're going to move into cardio especially. Start with a little bit of stretching and yoga. But stretching and yoga in itself can be movement. Now, I do believe we need three types of movement: stretching and yoga, cardiovascular, and a little bit of light weightlifting. Not heavy-duty bodybuilding shit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some light weightlifting. Those are the three types of movement that I build into my schedule every week. So daily, I attempt to build in 5 minutes of stretching or yoga, 5 to 15 minutes. I attempt every day to build in 20 to 60 minutes of cardio, walking, jogging. Some of you it might be swimming, for some of you it might be biking, dancing. Seriously, dancing. So that's cardio. Get your heart pumping for an extended period of time, but not, doesn't have to be fast. And a little bit of light weightlifting. So for light weightlifting for me looks like I do weights that are about 8 to 10 pounds, and I do about 5 different exercises. I specifically focus on my arms. I have 5 different exercises for my arms that work on the bicep, the shoulder, the tricep, the chest, and my, what are those called? My lat. L-A-T-S. Lat systemis dorsi. So those 5 muscular areas in the arms, and I do 3 sets of 10 for each of those. And I'm not going to get into, like, what weights to do, you guys. You can go ahead and Google that, like, free weights for upper body, free weights for triceps, free weights for biceps. You can also, if you belong to a gym, just go to the gym and look at the different, you know, pictures of muscles on the different weight machines. And you can use weight machines. So I prefer to do free weights. I don't like to go to a gym. So I don't belong to a gym unless I live somewhere that's cold. So I like to exercise outside, which is one of my tips, if you can do it, to actually get out in nature. So stretching / yoga, cardiovascular, which is like walking, running, swimming, biking, dancing, and then weight, light weight, whether it's free weight, dumbbells, or weight machines, light weight, 3 sets of 10. 8 to 10 to 15 pounds, start light. When I got sick with MS, you guys, I couldn't barely lift a 1-pound weight. So it took me a while to get back up to 8 to 10 pounds, which is where I'm at right now, for free weight. On weight machines, I can tend to do a little bit more. So as I said, you know, I'm not going to get really in-depth into that. You know, if you feel like you want someone to set up a weight program for you, maybe hiring a personal trainer for a few sessions to get a program in place and then, you know, tweaking it is beneficial. Okay, cool. So again, I recommend 10 to 60 minutes of movement a day. The goal is to shoot for about 20 to 30. On the weekends, I tend to go for 60 minutes, sometimes up to, you know, this past weekend I went backpacking. And we hiked for 7 hours. Now, I've had to build up to that again since I was sick, right, with the MS. So I want you to start small. If you have
not been doing it every day, and then gently, gradually increase. Now, if you want to talk about that more with me in your one-on-one sessions, I would love to do that with you, and I've already done that with some of you. But start small and increase gradually. Let go of your all-or-nothing mentality, you guys. Intensity, gentle to moderate, depending on if this is something that's new for you to do. Let go of the extreme, pushing yourself, having to, you know, push. Sweat really hard. No, that's not true. That is not a truth. That is a myth. They state that actually moderate heart rate actually is like the fat burning zone. It's not good to kill yourself, to push yourself too hard. Okay? Again, a personal trainer can help you a little bit more with that, or if you have one-on-one sessions with me, we can talk about that a little bit more. Make sure you pick some kind of movement that your body enjoys. I love to jog. I'm crazy. I love it. So some people like to bike. Some people like to swim, dancing. It's good to have variety. Maybe two things that you like to do, like, you know, I like to jog and then I like to hike. So hiking is a way to move your body as well, if I didn't mention that before. So variety and something your body enjoys is actually the number one thing. Sorry I didn't put that first. I prefer to move my body outside. My body loves nature. Nature is also very soothing for those of us with anxiety. So I prefer to get outside. I recommend to get out in nature versus a gym if you can. Okay? Get a movement buddy. Use your support sister or find somebody. Your support sister can be a really great, like, check-in. Like, are you, you know, after you've set some baby steps and some goals for these things, for movement, rest, check in. Did you move your body today? Text each other, email to check in. But you can also get a movement buddy. Some of you feel like you need a little bit of motivation to get to the gym or to go outside, go for a walk. That's great. Now, I don't recommend depending on that person all the time, because if they can't go, then what? You're not going to go? I don't recommend that, like to fully depend on that person. But if it gets you going to start with, awesome. If you're struggling with pain or fatigue, start very gently and slowly and gradually. Be gentle. Back off if it hurts. Maybe you've overdone it. Definitely do some gentle stretching or some of those gentle yoga postures before you move, if you have pain, especially. And the last tip is to schedule it. Like, get it on your schedule, guys, right? Get it on your schedule. In your Google Calendar, in your, you know, notepad. Be consistent. I have a client who, like, she sets it up to do it every morning. Some people set it up to do it at lunchtime. Some people set it up to do it after work. I'm a person that loves to do it in the morning. So which, like, ask your body. Body, is it, would you prefer to move in the morning, at lunch, after work? Like, what's best for you? Again, always come back to asking your body, checking in with your body. What type of movement? How much? How long? Does it need to be more intense, less intense? Can you amp it up a little bit? This is really about listening to your body, you guys. Asking and listening to your body and what it needs, whether it's rest or movement. And eventually nutrition. So, somebody put massage down as a restful thing. Yes. Massage, definitely. Acupuncture can be as well. Awesome. Amy says, my favorite movement is playing with my hoop and poi, which I love to do music as it gets into my flow. Is that okay? Yes. It feels more like play than punishment. No. Definitely not. If it feels more, it feels more like play than punishment. Yes. I think I'm dyslexic tonight. Yes, Amy. If it feels more like play, totally. And if you're getting your heart rate up and you're doing it for, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes, like, that's awesome. Now, I do recommend finding at least one other type of movement that you love as well. So, but definitely, your hula hoop, it's kind of like dancing. That's awesome. Awesome. Good job, you guys. Love your feedback. So, all right, I'm going to do just a little bit of wrapping up. Tools to nurture your body. I mean, I just gave you guys a bunch of tools. So some things we're going to add to that, of course, is your TMP. We're going to be working on your beliefs that are keeping you from moving, from resting enough, and, of course, from the nutrition piece once we get into that. So please share, continue to share your beliefs on the Facebook page. Start a post, if I don't get one up there tonight, on beliefs. And everybody can just add to that what your beliefs are on whether it's around movement, on nutrition, rest, like what are your beliefs about nurturing your body in general, like about listening to your body. So we're going to be having some TMPs. Your first one will be up tomorrow. Another tool, make sure you blow off, dust off, print off that Life Balance Blueprint. And I want you to set some short-term intentions and or goals around movement and rest for this week. The next week. Next week, I'm going to be giving an audio lesson on nutrition. So, but in the meantime, Life Balance Blueprint, and get some things on the schedule as well, like your Google Calendar, rest, movement. Get that scheduled, you guys, okay? And connect with your buddy and your support sister and or a buddy outside of the group, up to you. And even put some of these intentions out on your face, out in the Facebook group, you guys. You're more likely to do it if you put your intentions out there. Start small. Small baby steps, gradual. And don't think you're going to put everything into place at once, okay? So, you know, start with a few things. One other thing I want to put out there is I have some books I want to recommend. I already mentioned Take a Nap, Change Your Life. There's a cookbook that I'm going to recommend. I'm going to do it already. It's called Practical Paleo. So I'll get into that more next week in the audio lesson. But it's a cookbook that I have that I absolutely love. Another book that I recommend right now, you guys, that will help with some of this stuff is The Four Agreements or The Voice of Knowledge. I know I've already recommended that, but I'm going to recommend it again. They're really important. Those books are really important to keep track of your thoughts, your beliefs, and help to reprogram those. The other thing I just want to put under your self-care, so tools and self-care are kind of together tonight. And notice I changed self-work into self-care. I don't even want to have the word work anymore. This is all really self-nurturing or self-care. So journaling daily. Did you see, these are some questions I want you guys to jot down tonight. Did you see your parents nurture their body while you were growing up or even now? What did you see them do when it came to rest, when it came to sleep, when it came to nutrition? What did you learn? What beliefs did you take on because of what you saw or heard growing up around food, nutrition, rest, and movement? Awesome. And I want you to share some of that on the Facebook page, some of those ahas around that and some of those beliefs. Second thing to journal on is when you do not follow through with nurturing your body, rest, nutrition, or movement, I want you to use some curiosity and compassion and ask yourself, why do you think you didn't follow through? So not to beat up on yourself, but to actually have compassion and curiosity. Why didn't I follow through with it today? I had it scheduled. Did I give the time to something else? Did I put somebody or something else first? Did I tell myself I didn't have time to rest? Did I put work first? What sexy excuse came up that kept me from moving or resting or nurturing my body today? Awesome. I already mentioned the schedule a TMP every day besides bedtime, but also at bedtime. Use your Life Balance Blueprint. And share on Facebook beliefs as well as some of your journaling ahas around nurturing your body. Awesome, you guys. Check in with your buddy, or I mean your support sister, text, email, call each other to get accountability and support. So I want you to remember progress, not perfection. Start small and don't expect to do it perfectly. It's normal to fall off the wagon, accept, forgive, and get back on. Compassion and curiosity are key. Have an add versus a take away attitude. You're adding, you're nurturing yourself versus taking something away from yourself. And as always, again, be firm but gentle with yourself, you guys. Awesome, you guys. I love you. Come and connect on Facebook and share your ahas, your wins, your struggles. And I will see you soon in the next live class or in your one-on-one session. So, sending you strength, love, and tons of compassion. Hope you guys have a fantastic evening. Good night.